Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have an opportunity to hear your message for us this day as we come to the Gospel of Matthew and we hear the words that Jesus spoke. Lord, I pray that the words that I bring forth are your words and yours alone, and that I am just an instrument to be used for your honor and your glory. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive the message you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to begin a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, or at least the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, as it begins with the Beatitudes. The word beatitude literally means blessing. In fact, the dictionary says that it is a supreme blessedness. So today we're going to look at that very first blessing of the words that Jesus spoke. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we need to remember who is speaking these words. We need to remember these words are spoken by Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world, the one whose kingdom is everlasting to everlasting, the one who gives light in the darkness, the one who heals the brokenhearted and the sick, the one who brings comfort to those who grieve, and the one who brings us the promise of joy and peace forever. As we heard in the first two verses, Jesus saw the crowds, and so he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. What we need to remember is that Jesus wasn't speaking only to his disciples, that he was speaking to the multitude as well, the great crowds that followed him. And if you look at the end of chapter 4, it tells us that they followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And so the crowd was great. For many today, as we hear those words spoken in our scripture, or as we read them and we think about what it means to be poor in spirit, some people just think of someone who is poor. Others think of someone who is weak. Others of people who are compliant, and maybe even those who others push around or ignore. Often within the context of the church, we think of it as persons of lower economic or social status. However, what we need to remember is every individual is created in the image of God. And therefore, every individual has an equal place in God's kingdom. Remember the words of the Lord's Prayer? The prayer that we say every week. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So our prayer is that we do not judge others, that we do not treat any human being less than Jesus himself would treat them. Jesus is talking to his followers. So as followers of Jesus Christ, do we want to think of ourselves as being poor in spirit? Poverty stricken in spirit. Does that sound appealing to anyone? It doesn't unless you fully understand what it means. It means that we look deep within ourselves and we hate the sin that we carry. We hate whatever it is that is against God. We look at where it is that we may be prideful or arrogant, where we tend to think more highly of ourselves than others. We are poor in spirit when we see in ourselves where there is hatred, where there is envy, where there is revenge, where there is anger, where there is hostility, where there is anything that goes against God, anything that is there not of God. So when we are poor in spirit, we come to understand there is nothing that we can do on our own to cleanse ourselves. There is nothing we can do on our own to take that sin out of our hearts. And so what we do is we come to that realization that we have to empty that sin at the foot of the cross. And we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because it is only through His blood that we can be made clean. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know that we are not going to be perfect human beings. That doesn't mean that we have the attitude of, well, it's okay, I've accepted Jesus and I know I'm not going to be perfect. But what it does mean is that we open ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. We open ourselves to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of the sin in our lives. And we're quick to seek forgiveness and to have that sin removed from our life. Therefore, being poor in spirit means that we take that first step of confessing our sin and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior if we are going to run the race that is set before us. The problem is often our pride, our arrogance, our greed, our lust for power and possessions binds us. So we need to open our hearts. And when we open our hearts to the work of God's Holy Spirit and put our complete trust in the Lord, when we totally depend on Him, we will be like Paul. That the scales will be removed from our eyes and we'll not only see the sin that is in our life, but we will be open to see the needs of those around us. Jesus often reminds us that when we seek to live selfish, arrogant lives, we lose our lives. We lose our eternal life. But when we humbly put others before ourselves, we receive life. When we live humble lives completely in surrender to Jesus Christ, we learn to be like Christ. We learn to live with humble hearts. And that love of Jesus will flow from our hearts in a way that shows others who Jesus is for them as well. We live in a community where more than 50% of people have no religious affiliation. To be honest with you, that number is probably actually higher because the information I found was not the most current information. I would think it probably to be 60% or higher. Here is the problem with most churches. Now, I'm not saying this is a problem with Wesley, because I have not been here long enough to know this to be a fact. But I have been a pastor long enough, and I have conversations with lots of other pastors who serve God's church. And what we know is that people are not open to everyone. How many of you would love to see the Wesley United Methodist Church grow? How many of you would love to see these pews full on Sunday morning? How many of you are willing to go out into our community and begin to build relationships? Relationships with people who live on this block, who live two blocks down, who live a half a mile down the road, who live in the blocks that surround the church. Jesus is reminding us in this very first beatitude that God blesses those who recognize their need of Him and those who are willing to share that need with others. Jesus connects that moral teaching with grace by reminding us that real life finds its expression first in relationship with the Lord and then in relationship with one another by being obedient to God's call on our lives. In the time of Jesus, the principles of the law overshadowed the imprint of grace. I believe in our world today, in our churches today, our comfortableness overshadows the imprint of grace. That grace that takes us out to the least, the last, and the lost, so that they can see a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is for them. At one time we lived in a world, and I'm sure most of you remember this, where the church was the center of the community, wasn't it? Everything centered around the church. Activities were centered around the church. At one time we lived where when people moved into a new town, the first thing they did was find a church to attend. That is no longer the world we live in. Many of you may have experienced and maybe do still experience the family coming to church together and then everyone going to grandma's house for Sunday dinner. That doesn't happen very often today. We are currently in the third generation of unchurched people. In this first beatitude, Jesus highlights that those who realize their need for God are those who will be blessed. How many of us here realize our need for God? No one? No one here realizes their need for God? How many of us have come to the realization that there are many in our communities who have not come to that realization? My question becomes, are we willing to help others come to know Jesus Christ? Are we willing to help those who live in our community? And are we willing to help anyone? Are we willing to help that single mom in the grocery store who is struggling with three children? Are we willing to help the young woman or the young man who is tattooed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet? Are we willing to help that drug addict who is out on the street or the drunk who is in the alley? See, we often say we want our churches to grow. We often say we want others to come to know who Jesus is. But then we put limits on who we are willing to minister to. We put limits on who it is that we will reach out to. We set limits on who it is that we want to come into our church building. But as Mr. Stever said to me this morning, it's not ours. It's the Lord's. So we need to ask ourselves, are we truly poor in spirit? Do we completely trust and depend on God? To be poor in spirit is not to lack courage, but it's to know that with God, all things are possible. It's to know that when God calls us to do a job, He is there to give us the gifts that we need to do it. Jesus tells us in having nothing, we have everything. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who joyfully accept God's role for their lives, that not only accept it, but participate in the life that God has for us. To fully participate by confessing our sins, by emptying ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to align ourselves with the will of God, and to live as Jesus lived. To live a life without discrimination. A life without judgment. A life that is filled with love and grace. One that is open to all people. One with Christ. Amen.